We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome program. First, my co-host, Greg Hanna of Toss C3. Greg, what's going on, man? I know you're excited about your guest. And, you know, you're a football fan, just to remind how entrepreneurs grind. You were watching football. When was football the big thing for you, Greg? What years? Because you told me you stopped watching football, even though you're in that Boston, New England area, which I don't want to talk about the Patriots. Tell me about that. Yeah.
Oh, man, I love football. I remember as a kid, I would get with my dad and he would hang out on the couch on Sundays. And I was just 6 years old, 5 years old, seven. I remember laying on his tummy watching football on Sundays. It was awesome. I'm super excited to talk to Emerson today, too, by the way.
Absolutely. So, Greg, just one other question. So what football team's your favorite football team when you were watching all the time?
It had to be the New England Patriots.
Oh, okay. So you missed all the greatness. You just dealt with Steve Grogan and some of the exciting things, if I'm dating you and different things like that, dealing with Super Bowl losses like the Bears. Well, my guest today, hey, he wore a Steeler uniform, so I always will always be a Steeler fan, and Broncos are my two teams. I'm excited to welcome program Emerson Martin. How are you, Emerson? Thanks for stopping by.
I'm doing great. Glad to be present. Glad to be here and hopefully talk a little football, talk a little after football life. And
yeah.
Just talk about what
we're going to talk about life. Go ahead, Greg, with our first question for Emerson.
Well, hey, Emerson, man, it's great to meet you. Tell us, where did you grow up and what was your childhood like growing up?
So I grew up in a little town called Elizabethtown. We're kind of like a blueberry capital, so there's a lot of blueberries there. So we pick blueberries during the summer, crop tobacco during the summer. Just a country boy. We farmed a little bit. We raised hogs. We raised cattle. We raised chicken. So we ate off our own land. We kind of just did what country folk do.
Wow, and that's interesting. And so in that process of growing up in that, did you feel because you're in the country and stuff like that, you learned a work ethic early in life compared to the community in the city? Yeah.
Absolutely. Work ethic was something that you did. You got up, you had your chores, you had your different things to do. And so we worked hard and we played hard. And I like to think that's part of my development. You know, from a young child, when you're bales of hay or you're carrying bags of feed or doing different things around the house to kind of get things in order. It's developmental. You know, that develops your strength. By the time I started lifting weights, I was stronger than I knew I was. Playing with my neighbors and stuff, running in the dirt and doing things like that. I was a big guy, but everybody else was smaller. You weren't going to get left behind. So all of the things that trained you to have the skill set to do what I did later.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Well, hey, before I ask you my next question about the NFL, what was your one max bench press max? What was it?
So I don't really know what my max actually was. When I was in college my junior year, I maxed 475.
Wow.
And when I was in the league at one time, I was doing four sets of 10 with 405 as maintenance and just doing reps. At that point in time, the max is not important. You just do things, you work out, you get stronger. You really don't really do a max. You're just always trying to be better at your craft.
You know, it's interesting, and I love that question, Greg, because my max was 400. I'm a former professional wrestler, so I understand exactly that, and that was not the big thing. It's about strength in football, Emerson. It's not like, you know, when you're these bodybuilders, you see these college kids, they're trying to get these big max. The NFL is all about, it's stay the course, right? Because the season's so long compared to college and high school.
Absolutely. So it's always about endurance. The NFL is more about endurance, not a one-time max. So that's why you have the 225 test. How many times can you do it? It's about enduring your strength throughout a game or throughout a day so that you're not just a one-time wonder.
That's awesome. That's a great answer. Thank you. Did you always want to be an NFL player growing up?
That's a funny question because at the time, the NFL was not then what it is now.
Right.
Hear about it. It wasn't like career goals. It wasn't all the hype. You know, in the 70s and 80s, you really didn't hear guys in the NFL. Like you think about the receiver lost in that play with Seattle, who's a Hall of Famer. He would sell shoes in the office. So it wasn't the glitz and glamour in the NFL. Really, growing up, my dad had a motto, and this is what I live by. This is what my children have lived by. You be the best at it or you don't do it at all. So you don't do something half-assed, as people would say. You do it with the best. You do it with your everything. You put your heart in it. I never thought that I would go to the NFL because coming out of high school, I had opportunities to go to Carolina, NC State, some of the bigger schools, and I ended up going to a Division II school. It wasn't to play football, but the best education I thought I could get. There was familiarity with it. My dad, we would go there every summer and visit because my dad was a minister and they had a minister's conference. And after my 10th grade year, met one of the coaches there. He kept in touch with us throughout those years. And so when it was time to go to college, we thought that would be the best place to go. And therefore, that's what we did. And so I'm a HBCU product. And to go there and to accomplish the things that I did, I'm very excited. And I would do it the same way if I had to do it again.
Interesting to talk about that and talk about specifically that journey for sure. And it's something that you don't expect. And you say to yourself, okay, what am I doing? My journey and all those things and playing in D2, how many players from your college end up playing in the NFL? A lot? Or is not?
We had quite a few guys during that era, because during that time in the early 90s, late 80s, a lot of HBCUs were still getting recruited highly. That was before you got the Power Fives and all those rankings and your big TV contracts and all these exceptional coaches in the Power Five schools now. Yeah, then it was just they were looking for athletes and they would come anywhere and find them. So we had guys like Johnny Barnes, Steve Brandon, Chris Williams, Jason Jones. We had another guy, Cornelius, I can't remember his last name, but he was drafted in the second round. Terrence Warren, fifth round, went to Seahawks. And so for HBCU, for me to be able to call those names out, that's kind of stellar for HBCU.
Absolutely.
Well, it's phenomenal. When did you know you could play in the NFL, and what was it like for you, you know, as a young man, college age, you know, having that opportunity?
Well, I think so the Philadelphia Eagles called me my junior year and asked me if I was coming out early. I was a Kodak All-American and I was highly recruited. And because my dad was an older guy, I promised my dad I would graduate, so I didn't come out. I think that was when I realized that I was a prospect. The crazy thing is I didn't come out because they drafted a guy from Jackson State that was the same size, same height, same build as I was, and they drafted him in the first round. I believe I went back to my room and I probably cried all day because I didn't come out. And it's crazy because when you come out, when your stock is high and you come out early, you get drafted early. But when you stay another year, then I had so many scouts come and see you. It's no longer what he has the potential to do. It's when he doesn't do this as great as we thought. He doesn't do that as great as we thought. And so I fell. I fell as opposed to being a first-round draft pick. I actually fell, and then Kansas City brought me in as a free agent. But they paid me more than the fifth-round draft pick because that's where they had me. That's where they had me suspected to go, was in the fifth round. So I was grateful for that going to Kansas City.
Wow, great. Hey, just a quick follow-up. You know, I know parents and dad and all. Do you regret not coming out early?
Absolutely. I regret not coming out early because my father ended up passing away before I went in the draft. Had I come out early, I think my father would have gotten a chance, an opportunity to see me play. The one thing that he didn't get an opportunity to see me play on a big screen. He saw me play in college. He was always, but I mean, he passed away at 81. He married a young wife. And so my dad was born in 1912. My mom was born in 1938. And so he got a young wife and he saw us all get through, all of us graduated high school before he passed away. So for that, but just wish that he could have seen me.
These things happen for sure. And the process, take us to draft day. How did that feel? You know,
draft day for me was, we were around the house. It was me and my mom. My dad had just passed, like I said, he had passed in January. So I didn't, you know, it wasn't a big sitting, just us sitting around waiting for a phone call. It's not like it is today. So we were just sitting around the house waiting for a phone call. People called early before the draft was over. Thought people were going to take you. They didn't take you. And so, you know, it was just a lot of back and forth trying to figure out when we were going to go, what were we going to do, stuff like that.
Cool. All right, Greg, next question.
Yeah, you know, what's your fondest memories playing college football?
Wow.
And a quick question also, were you a guard in college also?
So I played guard in college, but I actually played all five. So I've always played tackle, guard, and a little center. And so college was just – so when I was in college, we had what we would call – they called us the Fab Five. So we had five offensive linemen. All of us were all conference. And so just playing with them, being around them every day, we still are friends today. And just having that brotherhood that we have, that we share. And just, matter of fact, Jason Jones reached out to me this morning and was asking me, how was I doing? What was going on? And, you know, he was the opposite guard. He was my roommate. And so, man, it's just memories of brotherhood, memories of working out, having some of the greatest games and just playing for the love of the game. I think that's the biggest thing, playing for the love of the game, playing for people that you knew and classmates, not being a business, but just being a game, being able to enjoy your friends.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's huge. That's such an important part of it, enjoying the game and friends and the atmosphere of college football, for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Greg, next question.
Good.
Well,
go ahead, Greg.
Greg, are you there?
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Yeah, no problem at all. How about an NFL favorite memory?
Favorite memory in the NFL, I grew up a Steelers fan. We had a Monday night game in Kansas City. Terry Bradshaw came in and he interviewed that Friday to set up everything for the Monday night game. I went to the airport to pick up my mom. And at that time, you could walk back in the airport. And so I walk in, and I walk past the bar, and Terry Bradshaw is sitting there. He's like, hey, didn't I see you at the facility today? And I'm like, yeah. We actually sat down, and we talked for about an hour. And to grow up in the 70s and see Terry Bradshaw as one of those iconic guys, untouchable guys, and to sit down and have a conversation for about an hour and just talk as people. And he treated me like I was his equal, his peer, somebody that played with him. We talked about the game. We talked about life. We talked about so many things. And it was an incredible experience for me to be able to talk to that guy, Terry Bradshaw, unfiltered, and just sit down with him and just talk. It was amazing.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
What team would you say, Emerson, because you played for a bunch of different teams, do you kind of hang your hat with and say it's your team?
I say the Steelers are my team. I played with the Chiefs which is amazing because I played with Joe Montana and Marcus Allen the first time in minicamp. I remember they asked me to snap the ball, and I go and I break the hook. Joe Montana puts his hands on me, and I was like, I can't fuck this up. And so that was amazing. And then getting drafted in the supplement draft and being able to come home and play in North Carolina in front of my people. And it's crazy because Donnie Schell was in the front office in Carolina. And Donnie Schell was instrumental in me becoming a Steeler. And so about midway through the season in Carolina, Donnie pushed me to the Steelers. And that was the greatest because we were 0-7 at Carolina. And then next thing I know, I'm in the Super Bowl with Pittsburgh. So that was amazing.
So you were in the Super Bowl with Pittsburgh. That's a great question. I'll follow up later with talk about it. Because, again, Wikipedia doesn't always add those things. You know what I mean? I didn't see that in there. For sure. All right. Go ahead.
That's exciting. You know, life after football. Did you have a plan?
Life after football. Didn't really have a plan. Had a purpose, though. Had a purpose. My biggest thing is I'm the father of five. I have five boys. My oldest son played at U. One of my sons just graduated from the academy from the Army. Oh. His twin is in UNC Charlotte, still in school. I have a D lineman that's at Howard University. He's about 6'5", 290. And then I have a kid that just graduated. He's about 6'6", 225 and has decided that he's not going to play football because we're a football family. And so I applaud a lot of courage to walk away from when he had gotten so many offers, but he just decided that wasn't what he wanted to do. So I've always invested in my kids and other kids. I would think that one of the biggest accomplishments that I had was we used to run a company called Players to Pros. It was started by my wife and my oldest son. My oldest son, we adopted him. And his thing was, what you gave me, I think we should give to other people. So in our first year, we had 29 kids go to college. The second year, we had 36. The third year, we had over 60-something kids go to college. And then a guy that recruited me when I was in high school by the name of Matt, who's now back at UNC, told me to get out of that and to go back coaching. So then I went to Indianapolis for 2 years and did the NFL internship with Frank Wright. And then I started coaching at a little college called Juniata College in Huntington, Pennsylvania. And then I came home. I came home. My mom is now 84, so I want to spend time with her. But I would say my purpose has been mentoring. So I've really mentored a lot of kids throughout the years, coaching kids and now seeing some of those kids get drafted, which is pretty nice. I had a kid got drafted a couple of years ago that went to the Tennessee Titans. And his name is Pharrell Murkison. And then this year, Jonathan Kingsley signed with the Buffalo Bills. And we have a couple other guys that are still playing. They're getting their degrees. They're becoming great fathers and they're great citizens in the world today, doing great things. And so I've been privileged to mentor and pass those things on. Got a degree in mathematics, so I've done some tutoring, different things like that. And life has really been good for me and my family. And we just learned to give back.
Excellent.
That's such great information to hear about, Greg. Now, let's talk a little bit, Emerson, about specifically enough the Super Bowl. I didn't know you played in the Super Bowl. Which Super Bowl did you play in?
So I was in Super Bowl 30 when we lost to Barry Switzer, I think it was.
The Dallas Cowboys. I remember that game. I was I was a pro wrestler, watched it. You know, the Headbangers, who are WWE tag team champions, were in the locker room. They're Cowboy fans, and they let me have it. Brian Christopher, the late Brian Christopher, was in WWE. He's like telling me he was heartbroken for the loss of the Steelers. There's no way the Steelers win. And Brian's like, there's a chance we can take it. And that was a crazy game, wasn't it? And almost the biggest upset happened, beating the Cowboys.
I don't know if it would have been an upset beating the Cowboys, but we were the better team. We were the better team. You couldn't have picked the worst day for Neil O'Donnell to have his worst game.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because I often tell a lot of people that if Neil O'Donnell didn't throw those two interceptions to Ryan Brown, if you ever get a chance to go back and look at the film, Corey Holiday breaks his route out and he goes on the fly and Neil O'Donnell throws like the check down. But Corey Holiday is running down the sideline with his hands up. If he throws two passes to Corey Holiday, Corey Holiday is probably the MVP of the game. And if you look at it, you see those two incidents. That hurt because you don't get a chance to get there. And then when you do get there, you lose like that. Our defense was outstanding that game. I think Emmitt Smith rushed for like 49 yards and he had two carries that were for 36 yards. So he had two carries that was for 36 yards. That tells you the rest of the game he was shut down. Bam Morris was probably the best running back in the game that day. And it's just, it hurts. It sucks that you didn't win when you should have, when you did everything to do to get there. And Bill Cowher was a heck of a coach. He did everything to get us there. He knew how to motivate his guys and he knew what his guys was capable of. Dick LeBeau was great. I had Kent Steven as an O-line coach, just an old guy that was, we did things the old way. We played the right way. And to not win that game, that hurt.
See, that's what everyone says, Greg, in Super Bowls. They say that that was the big missing thing and they lose them because some people don't even get to play in a Super Bowl. And Emerson definitely did. And I'll have to see if I missed that on Wikipedia. I don't think it says you were in a Super Bowl. So that's the thing, that anybody that has that opportunity, they played in a Super Bowl, that's an impressive thing because it's not easy. Full NFL career, even to be in a Super Bowl, and especially in your career and all that stuff. Emerson, what are you currently doing? What do you have a business right now? What's going on with you? What's new with you now?
Still coaching a little bit. Still mentoring kids. Still doing those things. I'm more active in mentoring. Not really doing a whole lot because, like I said, I just resigned from Juniata College and came home. So just trying to figure out next steps. Would love to be in the XFL and USFL. I've had some conversations about that. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Because two of my colleagues are now head coaches. Rob Woodson has got the Las Vegas team. And then Wars has got it. So just talking to some vets and people are talking and trying to get me to possibly do it again. And so if I get those opportunities, I will. But right now, it's just spending time with family and catching up.
That's the coaching life, isn't it, Emerson, where you have a break from coaching, waiting for the next opportunity, and then you never know where you're going next with your family, right? All right, great. Best place people can connect with you is LinkedIn, would you say, Emerson, or where else are you?
I would say LinkedIn. I would say I do a little bit on Facebook, not a whole lot. My wife is more active on Facebook than I am. But LinkedIn is probably to get in touch with me. Pretty open. We pretty much talk to anybody. But that's probably the best way to access me.
All right. Fantastic. We appreciate it, Emerson. Best of luck. And let's hope you get an XFL job or USFL job and continue to do what you love is mentoring kids and adults to teach them football and understand things in the game of life. Because truly you do that is understand the game of life. So thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, Greg, for co-hosting with me. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.